Hey, welcome to Flip It and Rebuild It. This is the podcast that will help you see life from a new perspective, so you can prepare for when life knocks you on your butt without warning. I'm Stephen Webb, and ending up paralyzed at 18, going bankrupt, losing nearly everything, more heartbreaks than I can count. I know how hard it is to turn your life around. Let us help you find inner peace and flip it around when your life is hectic and feels impossible for you. And welcome my awesome co-host, Susan Jackman.
Aw, thanks, Stephen. And I'm here to share with you how I have learned to put that story in my head and use every experience to grow and rebuild my life the way that I want it to be. I've experienced a lot of life and learned many valuable lessons. I do believe I can help someone learn from what I've been through, from how I've overcome childhood traumas, to learning to find the silver lining and lesson in every situation, no matter how negative the situation seems to be. It's about finding your peace of mind when life goes to shit, as it often does. So, Stephen, tell me, how did you find your purpose?
How did I find my purpose? It's funny, actually, because for so long, I spent time searching for it. Probably the first half of my life, I had no idea on purpose. I had no, and it was found almost by accident. But probably, even after breaking my neck and having that scare of almost dying and spending time in intensive care, I didn't find my purpose then. I just wanted to be rich and successful and write books and sell millions of copies. I just wanted to be famous. And it wasn't until I hit my rock bottom at 40 that everything changed. And suddenly, like, I just started doing the things I enjoyed doing. I started saying, stuff it, you know, I'm going to live my life my way and then do the things I enjoy doing. And the more I'd done the things I enjoyed doing, the more I started enjoying my life, the more joy I got out of what I was doing.
Yeah.
The more I learned how to do what I was doing, because I had no idea what I was doing. I'm still winging it now. But suddenly the purpose almost came by itself. And then there was, people started asking me, well, what's your why? And I didn't really realize I had a specific why, but I did. And it almost came by accident. And it was purely because I'd suffered so much in my life. You know, I'm paralyzed. I've got a hassle with carers. I got all the other things that go with being paralyzed. You know, not walking is the small part of it. That's what everybody sees.
Yeah.
You know, it's all the other things that go with it, the health-wise, the not being able to control your temperature, the autonomic dysreflexia, which I can have the attack at any moment, and it's quite life-threatening. Needs to be dealt with very quickly. All those kind of things are worrying, they're stressful. But life still throws everything at you just as normal. It doesn't go, oh, he's paralyzed. We won't give him any more crap.
Right, right. I used to ask myself that all the time. Like, I've already been through so much. Why do I need to go through more?
Yeah.
That's the way it works.
I know. It would be nice if the universe had like these little pots of joy and happiness and misery. And once your misery pot was all given out to you, there was no more.
Right. Oh my gosh.
And it'll be fair. Right. I've had my fair share. I've had it by the time I'm 20. The rest of my life, I'm just coming out of the joy pot. But yeah, so my why was purely because I found my inner peace. I found ways that I can take a deep breath and tools. And I didn't have to suffer even in my position.
Yeah.
Even going bankrupt, even doing all those other things. I've now learned that I don't need to suffer. So when someone did ask me my why several times, I was like, I don't really know. And then suddenly it hit me one day, well, I don't like seeing other people suffer.
Yeah.
And more importantly, so many of us are suffering unnecessarily.
Yeah, definitely.
We're stressed, we're worried, we're tired, and all of those things can be dealt with. And we're sticking sticky plasters over it all the time.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So that was my why. I don't like seeing others suffer. So That drives me every single day. How can I alleviate the unnecessary suffering of others?
Yeah.
God, it makes me sound like a saint.
I feel like, over the last couple of days, I've been thinking about this a lot. And I feel like my why is kind of torn between wanting to help people, help them avoid going through things I've been through, like learn from me, and just kind of connecting with people, making real connections. What makes you come alive?
What makes me come alive?
What makes you excited to wake up in the morning?
That reminds me of a question I got asked a couple of years ago, and someone said, what gets you out of bed in the morning apart from the need to go pee? I thought that was a brilliant question. What a conversation starter.
Yeah.
What drives me, it's purely when people email me and people get hold of me and say, you know, do you know what? You've made a hell of a difference in my life just by being you and showing up and being there. You make a massive difference in my life. And that's what drives me.
Yeah. Nice.
You know, suffering sucks. And the fact that we suffer so needlessly, that sucks even more. I don't know of any other stronger way of putting it. But that's what drives me. There is suffering, and there is suffering that does happen, and there's not a lot we can do about it.
Yeah.
But it's all the unnecessary suffering we do to ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
Just a change of mindset, just a change of, you know, how I react to it, or how I respond rather than react.
But I think helping people realize that is a very difficult thing. Like, that's one of those things you can tell someone 100 times, but until it clicks within them for their own reasons, they're not going to get it. Like, it took me forever.
Well, people will only get it when they're ready.
Yeah, yeah.
My main mentor, Jimpo, told me one day, every week I would go on the call with him and I'd say, well, I've got this friend and I've been trying to help her and she's not understanding. She's stuck in her head and I want her to move to her heart and all that. And every week he says, Stephen, so what? It's none of your business. They'll get it when they get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, but I just need to help her this bit. I just need to. So there's that. I've got this why on one hand that drives me passionately. Mm-hmm. And I've got this, it's none of my business.
Yeah.
And so I'm no longer, I do not attach myself to the need to fix an individual.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's broken. But my thing is, if I put it out there, how I've done it and the tools I found and all the different things, that will, when they're ready, they will use the tools. When they're ready, it will sink in.
Yeah.
And I'm okay to wait for them.
Yeah, that's the way it should be.
Yeah, so it's difficult to watch.
Yeah.
It really is difficult to witness the self-imploding again and again and again.
It is.
But it isn't until a person suffers enough.
Yeah, that's true.
So if you're bumbling along the road and you're standing up and the car's hitting you again and you're standing up and the car's hitting you again.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, the car's not hitting you hard enough as a metaphor.
I think I can really pinpoint all of my change down to one thing, actually. Probably about 6, 7, 8 years, probably about 8 years ago, I had a cyst on my ovary and they had to remove the whole thing because it was just like, whole thing. So my estrogen levels plummeted and sent me into this spiral of migraines where I went 28 days straight with a migraine that didn't stop. Then I had like half a day off and then I got another one for a few weeks and it kept going like that for a year. And the whole time I was just like, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to me? But then when I got to the end, and I started getting better, I realized that it made me feel like I could do anything. It made me feel super strong. And I started looking at my life. And that's what gave me the courage to leave my marriage, which started me on a path of going after all my dreams and working on myself. So, but that was a lot of suffering.
Yeah. And we have to do some of that suffering.
Yeah.
To be alive is to suffer. You cannot be human and have all these different emotions without having both sides of the emotions.
Oh, I totally agree. Yeah.
How can desire and lust and enjoyment exist without the other? Because you wouldn't know they exist.
Yeah. Well, one makes you appreciate the other. It's like you don't know how good you feel if you haven't felt bad.
Yeah. They coexist equally.
Yeah.
And we cannot separate them. That's where all the pain is trying to separate them. Mm-hmm. Trying to chop one half off. I don't want all the suffering, but I want all the pleasure.
It doesn't work that way, does it?
we only learn to enjoy the pleasure when we spent all the years in the gym. And the gym is the pain. That's the courage. Mm-hmm. That's the growing. And talking about finding our purpose, and ultimately, I don't like to say finding our purpose, because we restrict ourselves to this funnel of, I've got one purpose, I need to find it. Mm-hmm. And then we run around, because our lives change so much, we go mm-hmm. from the external success to the internal enlightened spiritual journey. Mm-hmm. So we change what we want, and our purpose during our 20s and our teens is massively different to what it will be later.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to think I had to figure out what was that one thing I was meant to be doing. And I had all these different passions. And I couldn't decide. And then one day I sat down and realized, well, maybe they're all connected somehow. So I tried to figure out what about it was similar and how I could put them all together.
The thing is that the way I see it now, your purpose is whatever you want to do at this time.
Yeah.
You know, if you're 18 and you want to go out and party, you want to go out and do all those things, just do it. Just do what you want to do.
Yeah.
And that's your purpose for the moment. Because the thing is, all of this will build up into a story of your life. And although I teach about holding the story lightly and the story isn't you and all, well, the story does build the muscles. It does build what you're capable of enduring later on.
Yeah.
So instead of looking at purpose as a one life purpose, what if I get to 30 and I haven't started my life purpose? What if I get to 50? What if I get to 70 years old and I find out I'm going to die in a couple of days and I did not find my purpose? Well, quite frankly, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
You have one life. You've won this lottery of something like 32 trillion to one, and you ended up a human that is in the right time that we're capable of talking about purpose, and yet you didn't deliver on yours. That's terrifying.
Yeah.
However, if you find your why, mm-hmm. and then your why, what you're actually doing, what you enjoy doing, and your purpose, they'll change. But the why will fundamentally drive you.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And I serve people by helping them different now than I did 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. Different now than I did 20 years ago, because as much as I was an arrogant a-hole at 20 and 25 and 30, and I still am. So there's friendly listeners that know me thinks, yeah, I'm going to call you out on your shit, Stevie. But I'm less of one. I'd like to think I'm less of one. But meanwhile, I still served my why back then, but in the only way I knew how.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm doing that today, and it'll be different in 10 years' time.
Yeah, definitely.
It'll be deeper, more meaningful. So how do you serve your why at the moment?
Me? Right now, doing the podcast, with my inspiration page where I just like put up art and quotes and music and things. And the biggest one I think is probably my music. Like, I feel like my songs all have lessons in them. Even when I try not to, they still end up that way. So I think that's a really big platform for me. Let's say you're on your deathbed and you're looking back on your life. How will you measure your life and whether you feel it was successful?
Long pause. Do you know what? With me, it comes down to how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's pretty down to every day. This may not be answering your question, but if I go to bed at night and I put my head down on my pillow and I feel good, I feel congruent, I feel my body, heart, and mind, soul is all in a line, then I've had a successful day.
Nice.
So I guess really at the end of my life, and I'm ready for it, but don't want it yet. Very much. Not frightened of dying and just a bit concerned about how it happens. It would have to be, can I just put my head down and go, do you know what? I did my best.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
And I always say, and I always go back to this. Someone asked me, such a long time ago, what would I have written on my gravestone? And I've always said the same thing. I couldn't love any more than I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just a great metaphor for life.
Yeah.
No matter what you do, just love as much as you possibly can. Be open-hearted. And that's not in a sense of being trampled on or being a doormat, but in the sense of just open your heart so much that, you know, the narcissist will drown in it as opposed to damage it.
Right.
The people that will beat you down, the people, the life tough lessons, don't stand a chance in the huge heart. And that's through compassion and understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So if I get to the end of my life and I've learned to understand others, learned to forgive, then I'm good with that. And in return, it will help my daughter to live that way too. Because if it makes me feel good on a moment-to-moment, daily basis, it's what we all want, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No one wants this happiness and bliss forever after because we'll fear losing it.
Yeah,
that's true. Just want to feel joy in every moment. Bit deep. What advice have you got for people that want a purpose, want to find their why, and have no idea even where to start?
Okay, yeah. Actually, I would recommend doing a little exercise. It's kind of like a brainstorming exercise. You draw a circle on a piece of paper.
Right.
And around the outside, you write all the things that you're passionate about, that you love, that you value, that are important to you, that you're good at, all that stuff. Like mine has music, playing music, songwriting, dance, art, learning, meditation, self-growth, teaching, technology, crafting, graphic and web design, nature, making a positive impact, relationships, love, truth, and helping people. And then what I did was made like a kind of a spider web where I connected lines between things that were related to each other or connected. And then you go around and look at, okay, which things have the most connections? And for me, it was by far self-growth. And then like truth, helping people, learning. You know, it kind of makes sense that I feel like I can help people by teaching them from my lessons because that's what all those things are.
So for the people that sponsor us on Patreon,
mm-hmm.
Shameless plug here, head over to Patreon, pay $1 per month, and you can really help us build this podcast.
Oh, yes.
For the people on there, Susan's going to hold it up on the screen because you can see the video of us recording the podcast. So you can see our facial expressions.
Yes. Our Patreon members get the behind the scenes video.
Yeah. But you can see on the screen. Then basically what Susan's showing me for the podcast users is a circle with loads of lines connecting all the different things. The thing is, this is such an individual thing to do.
I think, I want to say Kai taught me that exercise.
Oh, the Secret Mermaid.
Yes, the Secret Mermaid.
We'll put a link to her Facebook page underneath. I love Kai. She's so awesome.
She is.
I get her name wrong all the time. Kayana. Kayan. So shout out to Kayan.
Yes.
And you can download a template on Patreon just below this podcast. And it'll help you get going. And ultimately, that will help you in the direction of finding your purpose and finding your why. And it's the current purpose.
Yes.
Please don't settle on, right, that's my purpose and spend my whole life and get so attached to that has to be your purpose. Because it will change.
Oh, yes, it will evolve.
Everything changes.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest heartache in the world is not wanting anything to change. So if we don't want our purpose to change, if we don't want any of those things.
Yeah.
So going a little deeper, just before we end this podcast, I want to ask one question.
Okay.
And ultimately, when we really, really dig deep, it comes down to one question. What are you willing to die doing?
You want me to answer?
You can. just let me elaborate on it just one moment. So it comes down to one question.
Mm-hmm.
What are you willing to die doing? You have 2 minutes left of your life. What would you still enjoy doing in that moment?
Yeah.
And for me, I would still give someone advice. I'd still try to help alleviate their pain.
Yeah.
How about you?
I think I have kind of two different answers, but they're kind of the same. Like, I would die for my daughter to help her, to save her, whatever. But if I look at it like I have 2 minutes and I know all I have is 2 minutes, I honestly would want to spend that time just holding someone I care about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I really think my why is connection.
But you'd be holding someone that's part of your why.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I'm sure you'd still give them advice.
Yeah. I probably wouldn't just sit there and say nothing. I'd be like, make sure you do this. Make sure you do this. Make sure you do this.
I was speaking to Jade Venable. She's done the Healthy Mummy Movement. Mm-hmm. .com. You can sign up to that. And she's got 21 experts, which I'm one of them. Her child, about 2 years old, became very poorly.
Mm-hmm.
And he had autoimmune disease. He went to the doctors, went to several doctors, and they all giving him tablets, all giving him other things. And in the end, she studied what he should eat, what he shouldn't eat, tried different things. And they came up with a plan of action, exactly how, what he should eat, what he should be doing on a daily basis. And that was great for the mum while she was there and all. But she'd done the most difficult thing. And she sat down and wrote down the full instructions for him if anything ever happens to her.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Well, we don't like the fact that we're not permanent. But we are impermanent. We are going to go one day. But to face that and to do it with joy, knowing that you're going to leave the legacy, you're going to leave them with the instructions. That's your purpose. That's your why.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've always wanted to write a song for Bella, like for after I die. But like, I just like, every time I sit down to do it, I'm just like, oh my gosh, I don't even know how to do this. He who has a why can endure anyhow.
By Nietzsche Fredericks.
Yep. So basically, like, if you know what your why is, you can get through anything, which is like where my Bella why comes in.
And he's been through a lot.
I mean, I could be sick and miserable, and I will get up and drive her to school because she needs to go to school.
Yeah. And you think about him in the concentration camp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What he went through was incredible. And for him to realize that, and yeah, it's true. If you have your why, you will endure anything.
Yep. Oh, yep. Which is important because there's always going to be suffering.
To live is to suffer. Mm-hmm. The first noble truth of Buddhism. And you don't have to be a Buddhist to be aware of the suffering.
Yeah.
The second noble truth is there is, the suffering is through attachment.
Ooh.
And that attachment to purpose, I've got one purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if the listeners go away with anything today, I think the most important thing about searching for purpose is not to search for the one purpose you have, because you haven't got one. Dig deeper and go for your why.
Yes, exactly.
Because you don't need a purpose then. You don't need a motivation then. The why is everything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I'm going to put a link underneath the video. There's a few links to put now. And I'm going to put a link underneath the video to a YouTube video where a comedian asked a guy in the audience to sing a song. And he sings a song, an incredible voice.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guy asked him to sing, asked him to explain the song and why he chose that song. And he asked him to sing it again. And I won't say anything more than that, but you've got to watch the video. It's about 5 minutes long. It's incredible.
Awesome. Sounds good. If you liked what you heard today, check out our Facebook page. We put announcements up there when we have things new out. Subscribe to our iTunes and head to our Patreon site. You can get to that at www.flipitandrebuildit. And we have a lot of different things you can do to help support us. And there's special things there, like our behind the scenes video. Head on over to flipitandrebuildit.com.
The one thing that you could help more than anything else at the moment is leave a review for us. If you listen to this on iTunes, leave a review below. Give us as many stars as you think we deserve. And be honest about a review. You know, if there's somewhere we can improve, tell us. And if there's somewhere where we're just absolutely exceptionally amazing, tell us.
We want to hear it all.
We do. But until then, ask your question. What are you willing to die for?